Absolute in its isness is the allness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Absolute in its isness is the allness. Absolute can only be known in its isness, in its allness. It can only be known as the totality of that which it is. It cannot be known as becoming. It cannot be known as an objective consideration. It's always subjective. It's always the absolute, the total beingness. Now, what does it mean when we say absolute in its isness? Well, as we look at absolute in its isness, we look at the circumstance that that life takes when we consider the universe. Now, what if you were, say, a star? What if you were an earth? What if you were a man, a woman, whatever? What if you were those things? You say, well, we are, you know, one or the other, we are. Well, what if you were? What would you be? Now, how would you define that you were that in your isness? How would you define that? Well, we have to take that to mean we're talking in the concept of concepts. We're talking in the idea of an idea, a concept, something that is not changeable, something that is fulfilled, something that already exists. We're merely revealing what already exists. So we're saying absolute already exists. And we're saying that absolute might be a concept. But can absolute be a concept when absolute refers to the universal quality? Let's redefine these things for a few moments. We teach a philosophy that espouses the idea of principle, that espouses the idea of energy. Now, in human terms, principle and energy are something we can understand. In human terms, absolute doesn't have a chance. But in human terms, absolute is out of the picture, but energy and principle are, and they are equally confusing too. So if we say all is governed, guided, directed, controlled, operated under principle, what kind of principle are we talking about? Are we talking about the law of cause and effect? Are we talking about the principle of isness? Are we talking about something that already exists, something that we cannot create anew, that does not have a destiny for it, that does not have a fate or a chance about it? Well, think about that. Think about that. As humans, we are 100% in favor of chance and destiny and fate, because we feel that if we manipulate ourselves or our world enough, that it will change for us. We feel that if we manipulate the principle, if we manipulate our parents and we manipulate our jobs and our employers and our circumstances, that we can control it. And perhaps in a way we can. But what are we controlling? What are we controlling? Are we controlling our reality? Or are we controlling just the temporary illusions? Is it something that is eternal and forever the same? Is there fate? And fate looks at it from another point of view. Fate is something that we are destined to experience and that we have no escape from it. So you are fated to die at the age of 39 and one quarter, you know, and so that's when you're going to die. Well, bully, bully. What if I don't know that? What if that's not in my consciousness? Well, it's in my consciousness for you, and that's what it's going to be. Well, okay, now it's in my consciousness too because you put it there. But what if you hadn't put it there? What if nothing had put into my consciousness that I was going to die this age or that age? Now, think of how the age of people are over the centuries. In Methuselah's time, they lived quite old. In Jesus' time, they lived quite young. In other times, they live middle, and we are, again, extending the age limit by our modern hygiene and things like that. But what did Methuselah have? Did he have modern hygiene that made the age extend? Hardly, you know. Did those early pioneers have that? No. There's an article in the magazine that said we are killing off our children by giving them antibiotics, because the antibiotics are killing those pests, bacteria within them, that allow them to be immune from the conditions of the world in which they live. And so we have to think of the world in which we live and the bacteria and all these things and how they interact, and are we doing a benefit or a disservice? So, okay, that those are relative things now. If we can look at, say, energy, and we see this vast power, this wonderful activity of energy, however we want to call it, we can call it electrical energy, we can call it magnetic energy, we can call it kinetic energy, we can call it mental energy, we can call it any number of things. Now, but the energy is all one. It is the movement of cells back and forth. Now, how can that be beneficial to us? How can energy be beneficial to us? Well, how can principle be beneficial to us? We, now here we come with an interesting concept, we are the creators of our principles. We're the creators of our principles. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. A lot of nonsense going to go on about that, isn't it? No, not at all. We are the creators of our principles, and our principles are always to our highest and best. When our principles are not to our highest and best, they usually destroy itself. The principles usually destroy itself, and it usually eats itself. Many times, a pesticide is, what do you call it, like mistletoe. What does mistletoe do? It destroys its host. It eats its host. A mistletoe grows in the tree, and pretty soon it destroys this branch and that branch. Pretty soon the whole tree dies. And a lot of vines want to climb up on certain trees in the jungle. And in the process, they kill the tree. The tree doesn't get any light, any breath, or anything else. The vines just take over. And so ultimately the vines are hanging there on a humble center. That is a hollow center, because it has just been died and disappeared. In fact, they sapped it all away. You might say that they're destroying their host, which is true. Now, principle is like that too. Principle is, there is the positive principle, if you can say that, and the positive principle is always good, is always beneficial. The negative principle is always contrary. And the negative principle eats away, the positive principle builds. And pretty soon, the negative principle has eaten itself away. And it has destroyed itself. Now, it'd be nice to have all sorts of illustrations on that, wouldn't it? But that's not necessary. What we want to do is to think about where the principle and energy function to our benefit. Where principle and energy are utilized by us to accomplish our goal. How do we use principle and energy to accomplish our goal? We use principle and energy to accomplish our goal just by putting them in motion. Now, we might take another side strip here. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed, nothing is manifested. All exists right now, and all we do is reveal it. So principle guides us in the revelation of that which already is. Principle just guides us to the awareness of that which already exists. And the moment we are aware that that already exists, then we have it. Now you say, well, I'd like to be aware of $1 billion, and then I'd have it. Well, we don't have the capacity to be aware of $1 billion. You know, we say Bill Gates has a lot of money, he has billions of dollars. But he doesn't. His banks and his investments have the $1 billion, but he doesn't. I don't think Bill Gates ever held $1 billion in his hand at one time. even though he's got so many of them. I don't think he ever held $1 million in his hand at one time. He might have, but I don't think so. He might have held $100 bills, $1,000 bills, but the other stuff, you see, Bill Gates is like all the rest of us. The richer we get, the less we need money. The richer we get, the less we touch money. It's not that we use credit cards, but the less we touch money. Bill Gates says, I want a Mercedes 450 SL with da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and 2 seconds later, it's there in front of him. Now, did he pay for it? No. Did his account pay for it? Yes. But he didn't pay for it. You say his account is him, but he didn't write the check. He didn't give his credit card. He didn't sign the signature on anything, but it was his. And you see, this is the ultimate that we are working on. We're working on the concept that we think our thought, and there it is. Now, true, Bill Gates knows he has the money behind his thought. Other wealthy people know they have the money behind their thought. And a lot of other people know they have the money behind their thought, even though to the outward appearance they might not. And somehow, it is there when it is needed. It is there when it's needed. A number of years ago, I think there were 3 or 4 reports by a bank that people called the bank and said, I think you have made a mistake on my account. And the mistake was on their behalf. On their account, which had usually been $50,000, $100,000, was $100 million. Ooh, my goodness sakes, $100 million. But you see, they felt it wasn't theirs, and they had to turn it back in, which is a noble thing to do.
Right.
But what if it was theirs? What if it was, by the divine operation of all activity, theirs, and they went in and said it's not theirs and gave it back? Now, was there anything that they did wrong to create it there?
No.
Was it anything that they did right to create it there?
Yes.
Yes. They created that which was already existing out of the universal. Now, that some clerk made a mistake, or did a clerk make a mistake?
No.
You see? It was thought they had to, because where did that guy get that money? Where did it come from? Now, we can all say, well, it came out of other people's pockets and this and that. No, it didn't. It was their creation, but they didn't have the ability to accept it and be responsible for it. You know? They didn't have the ability. Now, that's getting close. That's getting real close to getting it. That's getting real close to living the principle and experiencing these things. And you don't have to know where it comes from. We say that. You don't have to know where it comes from. You don't have to know how that gets to you or out of what accounts it comes. You don't have to know that. But you do. Your limited human mind says that it doesn't come from nothing. You get nothing for nothing. Remember that? There's no free lunches. But there are. There are all sorts of wonderful things going on, but we put the cause in motion to say that they don't exist, and so even if they come into our life, they have to go out of our life. Not because we didn't create it, we weren't effective in creating it. Now, take a young boy. He's running a race, doing a good job. He's running a wonderful race. And then his immediate competitor, falls out of the race, and he wins. He wins by default. The other kid was just as close as he was to the winning, but he wins by default. Not by default, he wins because he won. The other guy did not get across the mark. And so this kid does not feel that he really won. He said, I want to share it with my friend who fell out at the last second there, you know. And that's a noble thing, but stupid, because you cannot share what belongs to you. If he had taken the thing all to himself and done something beautiful with the money, he would have felt good about it. But he always felt that he gave half his winnings to the other guy, because he never would know whether he really beat him or not, because the other guy fell down just before the marker, you know. It's a tough thing when you're dealing in human elements, when you're dealing in human energy, because you're always saying in human energy these things don't work. You're always saying in human energy it cannot be. It's too good to be true. And this is what absolute is. Absolute is so pure, so true, so without any blemish, without any reference to anything else. It stands there, if you will, like the $52 billion or more that Bill Gates has in his pocket, so to speak. And it doesn't touch anything. He doesn't feel loaded down by it. He doesn't feel burdened by it. He doesn't feel like, get that filthy lucre away from me, you know. He doesn't feel like that. He feels, hey, that's nice. I want to share it because I have been blessed and I just want to share it. So he goes out and finds organizations with whom to share it, to do little projects that he had in the back of his mind that he always wanted to carry out, which is great. Yeah, but principle is so wonderful and it is so clean and so beautiful and it is so easy to use. But we deny ourselves the principle by saying the law of cause and effect, by saying it's too good to be true, and then it's too good to be true. We can say, I like me, I like me, I like me, as we walk the path and we stand 10 feet tall. We can say, oh, my foot hurts, oh, my tummy hurts, oh, I got this, oh, and my friends have this, and my mother and sister and brothers, and so, and by the time we get back on the path, we go to bed and take that aspirin, you know. We're nothing. When we finish this path, we should be so illumined and so standing straight and tall and feeling great and wonderful. That's the purpose of it all. But do we do that? Yes, we do. That's why we're here. And absolute points the way. Absolute is the way. And we'll never understand what absolute is. But we understand the relative. And the relative says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He said, acres of diamonds. He said, wherever your heart is, there's your treasure. Now, where is your heart? Where is your treasure? Do you feel that someone's taking advantage of you? Do you feel it's too good to be true? Do you feel that you don't deserve these things? Well, if that's what you feel, you may win only to lose. You may win to have somebody rob you. You may win to make a foolish investment next, you know. Why is it that people who win at lottery and at casino games, they win thousands of dollars, and then they lose thousands of dollars, and they say, I came here expecting to invest that much in my pleasure. Thousands of dollars. If they had stopped when they were up at their peak, and they don't know when the peak is, but if they'd stopped when they were having a bundle in their hands, great. And then go penny ante after that and see if your luck still holds. Because you can afford to lose a penny ante, but to take all that you've won and just cast it away, I'm riding high. Throw it on the little ones and see if you are. You know? But if you are, and you are, you might have a great experience by it. But believe in yourself. That's where it's all at. And when you believe in yourself, then you reveal who you are. And when you reveal who you are, what are we going to find? We're going to find Lady Wonderful. Right?
Yes.
And so it is. I love you. I love you. I love you.